So, anyways, Peter asked me to do a little quick review from what we were doing. The book that we are using, a couple of people asked me today, Love and Respect. You can get it on Amazon, you can get it online, you can get it at a Christian bookstore, you can get it at any bookstore, I probably. And where I got this, to be honest with you, was before Valentine's Day. I was up in Sacramento, and I thought, you know, for sure I'm going to get Sandy a card, flowers, and we're going to go on a date for Valentine's Day, and candy, I think. Those are the necessities. And I walked through, and I saw a Christian bookstore, and I walked in, and this book was screaming at me. It's a large print, so I could see it and understand it. It says, Love and Respect. The love she most desires, the respect he desperately needs. And I thought, wow, that's exactly what I want to grow in, is love and respect for my wife. And so I bought it for both of us. And we started reading it, and it really spoke to my heart. That's why we're here today. Not because we have a perfect marriage. We don't. But we're working on it. After 33 years, we're still working on it. And so we appreciate it. And so that's why we're sharing it here. Felt like it was good. Felt like there's really, you know, three different levels of relationships that we have in the marriages. And I think we have some incredible married couples that are here in our fellowship. And I want to commend you, because we do. We have a lot of great, incredible marriages. And I want to inspire all of you to do better and to learn. And so I hope that you'll learn something from this book and from some of the examples that we share here. There's also a group that is, you know, I think doing okay. You know, the couple that says, how are we doing, honey? Right? We're doing okay, right? Yeah? Okay, we're doing okay. And God expects better, okay? And so we're looking to God to show us and to improve our marriages and to glorify God. And then there are some marriages that, you know, that need a little help. And we need to pray for those. And we need to help those couples. And so we hope that every couple, every person, whether you're married yet, you're engaged, you've been married for a short amount of time or a long amount of time, that you learned something. Last time I said I hope and I would do this if just one couple would improve. I would. I would put the hours in. We would do this for one couple. But if every single couple glorified God and grew in their marriage, just think about that. God thinks about that. And so that's where I want to put that out there. And so as we do our marriage class, the Love and Respect book, you can get it on Amazon. I've seen it as low as $4 and $5. Also the workbook that goes along with it that is going, okay? I do want to start with a prayer so that we can really bring God into our hearts. So let's bow our heads in honor of God. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this time together that we get to address the married ministry. And so thank you for Dr. Emerson to write this book, but really to put scripture into place that we really want to look to you to glorify you with our marriages, that they will reflect, God, that what you desire for each one of us, our role as a husband or a wife, God, that we want to see how we can grow in our marriages and to reflect that. God, there's so much going on around the world that it can really distract us on what our purpose and what our focus is. And it is a relationship with you first and foremost. And then right after that is our relationship with each other, with our spouses, and then with our kids. And so, God, help us to put that into practice here, God. And speak through Sandy and I right now, and let everybody to hear the message that you want to have every person here to grow in their marriages to glorify you. We pray this in your son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we asked for some homework last time that we started, and that homework was to read chapter 3 and 4, right? To pray every day, right, with each other, and also to read the Bible every day, right? And so real quick, I can't see everybody. How many people did that this week? Okay? Okay. Well, we got a long ways to go. But you know what? Today is a new day, right? And since I can't see everybody, you know, I'm not going to pick on anybody. But really, it shows that we have a long ways to go for repentance. And God calls us to repent. And that's a condition of being a disciple, okay? And so praying every day, reading our Bible, reading the chapters now, and we'll give you homework at the very end, okay? But also, in order to form a habit, the scientists say that it takes 21 days to form a habit. And so the bad habits that we've been doing, to break those bad habits, we got to do something else. And so we got to put things into practice. There was also some other homework that we gave. Does anyone remember that? Cindy?
Yeah.
I saw the three fingers, yeah. So I think, and I can read lips.
Write down.
Write down three things that is encouraging about your spouse. And whether you choose to give that or say that to your spouse, that was optional, right? And so really what we try to do is to wait about 3 weeks before that we encourage couples to go back and then say what they've been writing down, okay? And because then you have a habit of doing that. But what was the caution that I said? Not to do it and then expect, oh, well, I just did my three, so now you give me your three. No, you do it because it's the right thing. Because it's on your heart, okay? And right now, if you just want to write them down in your journal or on your phone or whatever, then do that. But write down three things and think about your spouse in a good, positive way and help train our minds to be thinking about that. There's so much going on. And if we don't train our minds, another week will go by and three people will raise their hand. And that doesn't glorify God. Right after our relationship with God is our relationship with our spouse. And if you ask me, how am I doing, I'm going to look to my wife to see how she's doing, and you can look and see how my wife is doing, and that's a reflection of what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. Do you get that, guys? How my wife is doing is a reflection of what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. Now, that doesn't mean that she physically or emotionally or whatever, you know, we go through different cycles. We're going to talk about that. But repentance is that we change the things that we were doing that we need to change. I shared one time about a long time ago, I used to be a lifeguard. And I used to sit out in the sun and do all those bad things out in the sun and just, you know, sit and raise and try to get as dark as possible. Well, that was a bad thing. And you didn't know about that until now that I'm, you know, in denial at an older age, and that the sun affects my skin. Sandy's gone through skin cancer. And on her makeup, she has the sunscreen already built in. Well, I don't wear makeup, but I do put on sunscreen. And I have been for a number of years now, so that I don't get skin cancer. Because my parents and my family has had skin cancer. And so I can't go back and change what I used to do. And this relates to our sin in the past, what we used to do, the things that we did, we can't go back and change. But what I can change is what I do today, what I did yesterday. And that's I put on sunscreen every single day. And you know what I do? I make it easy. I have a bottle of sunscreen next to my toothbrush at home, and I have one in my gym bag. So no matter where I am, I'm putting sunscreen on. And why? Because I don't want to get skin cancer. Because I want to live as long as I can with my family and with you. And so that's an example of what you can do to change. But you got to actively do it and put it into practice. So when it comes to our marriage, it's a lot more important. And we don't have the conviction, I believe. I was just talking to somebody about what causes this person to change. There's nothing in his life or her life to cause them to make a change. As Christians, we should look at the Bible and be obedient to the Bible. And that's what we're looking at here today as we go through this. And so we looked at love and respect in chapters 1 and 2. And frankly, it was Ephesians 5:33. It says, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So here it is, a command, a scripture that tells us we are to love and respect each other. And so we should do that. We should be obedient to the Bible. We can look in the Old Testament and see that those who were not obedient to the Bible. And then we were talking about the crazy cycle. The crazy cycle, I don't particularly like that word, but we used to, you know, when we do marriage counseling, we would talk about it goes into a spin cycle. And that's one person says something, then somebody else says something else, it goes into an argument, and then it gets worse, and then it goes into a circle, and it goes deeper and deeper. And the more that's said, it gets deeper and deeper, and I'll tell you what, it takes a long time to dig out of that hole. So Dr. Emerson talks about a crazy cycle. And we also talked about, Sandy talked about, the content might be right, what is said could be right, but the delivery could be wrong. Rolling of the eyes, the looking down, saying it in a fashion that is disrespectful. But it might be correct, but it might be said in a way that is disrespecting. And we talked about the air hose, stepping on the air hose. Shutting off the air of somebody will hurt and damage relationships immediately. And so we need to see what is stepping on those air hoses, and we talked about those. And then we had a little bit of fun about deciphering the code, right? About the blue glasses and the pink glasses, looking through each other's viewpoint. And you can go back to psychologists and see, hey, to relate to somebody, you got to come closer to the way they are in order to be listened to and understand and communicate. So Dr. Emerson used the pink glasses and the blue glasses. If you're here, you know, or if you have Facebook, we got on Facebook and now we have our blue and pink glasses, and I was wearing pink glasses so that I could see Sandy's view of what I need to listen through her eyes or through her ears, so to speak. Okay, so we had a little bit of fun with that. And that brings us up to speed. So now we also did the homework. We gave out the sheet that had what causes the crazy cycle. And I think I had at least half of those that I checked off on mine. And that was in the workbook that we presented. So that brings us up to speed. Right now we have the guest services that are going to be passing out 3x5 cards. That is you can write down your questions, and that we'll collect them before the end of the night. And we will come back and we'll try to put them into different categories or different topics and be able to answer your questions. Some people like to ask questions, and some people maybe they would like to write them down. And so you write them down. If you, Sandy and I will be looking at them, and we'll get some input. However many we have, to be honest with you, we have about 200.
Yeah,
yeah. And so, you know, if we run out of 3x5 cards, you write it down on a piece of paper and pass it in before the end of the night, and then we will come to answering questions next week. So, and here we're going to start. Love and respect, session 3, what men and women fear most, okay? And right now, when men were asked in a national study if they were forced to choose one of the following, which would you prefer to endure? And 74% of the men said they would choose which answer. Okay, A says to be left alone and unloved in the world, or B is to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. So, by a show of hands, and everybody can vote here, how many would vote that your answer would be A, to be left alone and unloved in the world? Okay? And B, to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. Okay? So 90% of you didn't vote. So when I say clearly, men would choose to live with a wife who respected them but did not love them, rather than live with a wife who loved them but did not respect them. So in the study, it was evident that respect was more prevalent and more important than it was for feeling loved. And that's not that they don't need love, that men don't need love. It's just they put respect at a higher value than they did love. And so it's kind of like bread and water. Water being respect, bread being love. Obviously, we need both, but we can last longer without food, but we really need that water, especially right now. We need to protect and serve. We need to protect and serve starts really for young men here. Why do you think little boys ask when they grow up, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? And a lot of them say fireman or policeman or a soldier. And it's because how God has programmed us, how our nature is to be that way. And look at, to help to serve others and to protect and to be, you know, kind of that, you know, that guy that turns into those. And so I look at the words that the fearful Philistines before he went into battle. In 1 Samuel 4:9, take courage, be men and fight. And again in Joshua 1:9, we see this charge. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Clearly, there is something in most men placed there by God that drives them to fight for, honor, and protect their wives and their children. How many times have we said we would die for protect our wife or children? I've talked to many men, and it's like, no, I would die for my wife. I would die for my kid. I would protect them. And that's who we are. We're going to do that. I hope we're never put in that position, but I know that that's our heart. We would protect them like a lion. I got this lion in front of this Joshua 1:9. I gave that to Robert Lickfield. I thought of Robert when I printed that. So wherever Robert is, it goes out to Robert. So if this is the heart God created a man to have, how do you think it makes them feel when they are treated with contempt and disrespect?
Amen. It's no mistake that God made men, excuse me, physically stronger and put them in a position to be the head of the household. Our husbands need to be respected as the head of the household. After all, they are the ones called upon to protect us and, if necessary, to die for us. Ladies, let's look together at the example in Nehemiah 4, verse 14. When Nehemiah led his men in rebuilding the wall and fighting off the enemy, he urged them to fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, and your wives. Everything in a man longs for his wife to look up to him as he fulfills this role. And when she does, it motivates him. Not because he's arrogant or prideful, but because of how God has made him.
Now let's look on the responsibility men have in the relationship to respect their wives. In 1 Peter 3:1-2, if I didn't say this at the beginning, I said it last week, you guys can take notes. The reason you take notes is that you're going to remember it, and if you don't remember it, you're going to be able to go back and look at it, and hopefully you're going to put it into practice. Because I can't remember it. If I don't have it written down in big, bold, I'm not going to see it. And hopefully you put it into practice. Then I hope and pray that you'll share that with somebody else. Today, I'm doing a deal in city. I'm doing a business transaction. It was a young man. Happened to be the same age as Christopher. He just bought a house in Rancho Cucamonga. And I invited him to this. He's not married yet, and he said he's starting to read his Bible again, and he said, well, maybe we could all get together out there in Rancho Cucamonga. So how awesome is that, you know? Just sharing what we're doing. Hey, you know what? I gave him one of my cards. I didn't have a church card. I had a elder card. So when you say you pull out your elder card, I do have an elder card. So it was pretty funny. I laughed at myself. So anyways, we should be sharing this. And I don't know how many people have except for Brian Bartels, a photographic memory or whatever that is. So please write it down. Please put it into practice. I hope and pray that every single person here gets something out of these classes. Okay? Okay. In 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. Husbands, we need to remember this scripture even when we don't want to or we don't feel like it. We need to be obedient to the Bible and show proper respect, not just to those who are good and considerate to us, but also when someone is harsh to us, even when it is somebody like our wives. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Also in Ephesians 5:25 through 33, Paul also says that husbands ought to love their wives as they do themselves. No one ever hated his own flesh, but cherishes it. As husbands, need to cherish our wives in the same way. Okay, men, I'm going to ask you a question, and your participation is needed here. What are some of the ways we can show our wives that we cherish them? What's that?
Kind words.
Kind words. Compliments.
Compliments, yeah.
There's more than two men here. Barry.
Say that again.
A hug.
A hug, yeah.
It's awesome. Flowers.
Amen.
Put down the cell phone. I don't even have a cell phone on me right now. Good job. All right. Okay, what else? Yeah.
Clean the house? Yeah. Take her out on dates. Yes. Amen. Make her feel special. Good one, Alvin. Listen.
Listen.
Yeah, underline that one.
And what was back there?
Make her feel safe? Is that it? Oh, when she's sick, yes. Thank you. Lavelle? Lavelle. Amen. Wash the dishes, yeah. Barry?
Hey, are you guys taking notes? Come on, guys.
We got one more. Barry had his hand up. Oh, there you go. Dance with her. Yep.
Okay.
Barry had his hand up. Pay attention to her when she's talking to you. Amen. Our to-do list, yes. Take care of the to-do list.
To-do
list. Amen.
Hey, you know what? Keep thinking. I think that's good. When you have a to-do list and it's 10 items long, you know what you do with that? You don't get overwhelmed. You say, could you prioritize that? What would you like me to do 1, 2, and 3?
Amen. That works.
Because if okay. I did number 9, 8, 9, and 10, but I do 1, 2, and 3, I got... Okay, what else? Come on, guys. There's more. We're cherishing our wives. There's got to be more. And you're taking notes, right?
So basically, spending more time with her.
Spending more time with her.
Amen.
Okay.
Oh, amen. Considering her in your decisions.
Wow. That came from an engaged person.
Yeah, that
right
was
there,
awesome.
Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Hey, I shared in one of our classes that I watched Dancing with the Stars and Grey's Anatomy. Right? I shared that.
Yes,
you guys
you
missed it. I shared that up here and wore pink glasses. So, okay. Yeah. Over here.
Massage her feet. Ooh. That's good. That's good. Okay,
wow.
That's good, man.
All right, this is good stuff. Okay, one more.
Be first to apologize.
Be
Amen.
First to apologize. Put that at the top, guys, okay? When you're taking notes, just put that one on the top, okay? Because it goes a lot smoother when you do that first.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, 33 years, I've known Sandy for 40 years. And remember, I told you I met her when I was 2 years old, right?
Yeah, no.
Putting that at the top will help things go a lot smoother. So
yes. You
know what? You just got your money's worth right there. So amen. Thank you. Okay, so those are all great things. Thank you very much, guys. That was very good participation. I want to take a moment to jump, focus to chapter 11. Okay, you're writing down notes that chapter 11 talks about understanding. Okay, I know we didn't ask you to read that, but since we've read the book, we jump to chapter 11. If we truly cherish our wives, we will want to take the time to understand them. We want to spend a lot of time talking about how different God has made us and what our God given needs are and fears are. So now I want to focus on another one of our wives' greatest fears, not being understood or heard. Why do you think that we feel the need to communicate so much as they do? Right? Right? Don't women communicate more? I mean, they do.
Yes.
They say more words. They communicate a lot more than guys do. They desperately want to be understood. See, guys, this is a clue. Or we're giving you guys hints of what's going on, what's ticking in there. So if you're not taking notes, you're a fool. The Bible talks about being a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I've been reading the Proverbs and the Psalms, and tomorrow will be Psalm 31. And my wife is a Proverbs 31 wife. And you can look that up, because that's what my wife is. And so I
thank you.
Truly mean that. So.
Amen.
Okay. Most women find great satisfaction and relief in knowing that their husbands understand them. It truly makes them feel connected to us and loved. We're trying to connect. We're trying to get in, help them understand, and we understand each other. And so you have to pray for patience, but make sure that you are communicating in a way that you both understand each other. Wouldn't you rather be a man in her life that understands her than to have her confide in somebody else? Yes. Please listen, because I want you to learn from my mistakes. I spent many hours making the mistake and trying to give Sandy solutions to her questions and concern. Countless conversations went south because I was always trying to fix her and fix the problem. I'd come from work fixing problems, and I'd come in and try to fix her situations, or her. She felt like I was trying to fix her, and I wasn't listening to her. Mm-hmm. I thought it was my job, right? No, wrong. It wasn't try to fix her. It was to listen to her. And it took me a long time, because I have a thick head, to truly understand that to love and cherish her, all I really needed to do was to give her my ear. All she ever wanted was to be heard and understood. So men, before you respond to your wife, ask her this question lovingly. Do you need a solution or my ear? So what that means is that you need to listen, and that means you need to shut your mouth for a minute. Okay? And be silent and listen. And whoever said put your cell phone down, put your iPad down, put the TV off, put it on mute, look at her. Look at her. Okay? One of the exercises that we did a long time ago in our house was that we had husbands and wives sit in front of each other with their knees interlocked, so they were touching each other. Think of that, a husband and wife touching each other, looking at each other really close, and communicating, because then there's no other distractions. And then to talk to them for a minute or 2 minutes, it was like a minute, it was like 30 seconds, to communicate to them. For some, it was hard, but it was okay. It was a beginning, okay? Communicating eye to eye is super important. And so...
Sometimes. Right there.
She's a great helper. Sometimes women just need to talk it out. They may not even be sure of how they feel, but once they engage in conversation, the truth of what's inside begins to surface, and they feel better. It's amazing, just letting it out. As they see it, sharing their hearts with you brings them so much relief and a lot of joy. Just sharing. And you don't have to fix it. You just need to listen. How hard is that? For some, it is hard. But we're going to change that habit for the next 21 days. We're going to really work on that. Right, guys? Amen. But if only if you're truly listening, and only if you truly feel heard, trust me in this, that if you're not listening and thinking about football game or basketball game or hockey or whatever, then it's not going to go well. And the conversation is going to go a lot longer. Okay? 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and then you say you're sorry, and then you make up, and then it, you know, but anyways, it could be a lot longer. That's my point there. Okay? So here are some tips for helping your wife to feel understood. Listen and repeat back what she said. So what I hear you saying is, because sometimes we get it wrong. Oh, you want me to take the trash out? No. I want you to do this. Okay. So trash was number 9. So if I'd taken the trash out, I would have got my number 9 project done and not number 1, 2, or 3. See, by clarifying it, we get make sure we're listening. And a lot of times I'm not listening, so my repentance is I need to do a better job of listening. Don't try to fix her problem unless she specifically asks you to. Try to identify her feelings. Put on the pink glasses. Okay, for those that weren't here, I will put pink glasses on. There you go. See, you gotta look through her lens and understand her, and it takes time and energy and it takes effort. Okay? It's not easy. Okay? It's not comfortable and it's not natural, but we need to do it. Okay?
Amen.
Thank you. Tell her you appreciate her sharing her feelings with you. Never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they may seem to you. Since she is a woman, 1 Peter 3:7, God made your wife with different needs and vulnerabilities from yours. So don't pass judgment on her. Do not interrupt her. Make sure she really is done, not just taking a breath. Sometimes you just have to say, are you done?
It's important.
It is important. When you're wrong, and even if you're not completely sure, because in her eyes you see that maybe you were wrong, apologize and say you're sorry. And don't just say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I interrupted you. I'm sorry I disrespected you. I'm sorry. Because a lot of times we'll say, you know, we'll get in the habit of saying, oh, I'm just sorry. What are you sorry for? Well, I'm not sure. Did you guys see that movie, In and Out? No, not In and Out.
Inside Out.
Inside Out. When the guy is sitting there eating dinner and the wife is saying, okay, you know, and then they go into his brain and he's like, what? What? What am I supposed to do? She's asking me something. She's doing something. It was so funny. If you haven't seen the movie, it's a good kids movie. And it talks about the brain and take a date, because you know what? It was a good date movie, and we were up in the mountains. It only cost $6.50, and it was a great date movie. But it was funny. And when you see that scene, you'll laugh. You're like, oh, I see what he's talking about. Okay. Give a lot of grace during her time of the month. Use an extra measure of patience and love. If you see something that needs to be done around the house, even if she is typically the one that takes care of it, just do it and do it with a good heart. Express your appreciation for all that she does. Pray with her and for her. I find prayer to be an excellent time of praise her before God.
Amen. Yeah, I have to admit, I love it when Joe talks to God about how much he loves and appreciates me, because it ensures me that what he's saying is the truth, because, of course, he's not going to lie to God. So it really does encourage me. It encourages me more than when it's said in general conversation. So with such amazing husbands, why do we find it so hard to submit? Women have been bombarded by the wrong interpretation of biblical submission, that they become suspicious and even hostile toward the whole idea and the phrase. Unconditional respect has become a red flag for a lot of women, for a lot of reasons. Some women say unconditionally respecting men will just give them more power to grind us down or to do us harm. Husbands who have goodwill towards their wives are not looking for ways to have power or superiority over them. And we are, again, like we talked about last week, assuming, as we should, that our husbands are doing things out of goodwill towards us. Deep down, they have a basic fear of being disrespected, and that fear is what keeps the crazy cycle spinning. As wives, we have far more power to affect a change, positively or negatively, in our marriages than we think. Just because your man might be 6'2 and 200 pounds like mine doesn't mean he can take the verbal abuse that we sometimes dish out. Before I was a disciple, and really pretty much most of my life, my father made a kind of a game of pitting, you know, wit against each other. And a lot of it involved really cuts and put downs and, you know, unkind things meant to be funny, but in reality were very hurtful. So that practice didn't die when I got married, and it continued in a lot of really negative ways towards Joe. And here I thought I was just being funny and it wasn't bothering him, when in reality it was bothering him tremendously. And I had no idea until really even more so reading this book how it also was a huge form of disrespect. So no matter how big they are, or how big they are physically, or even emotionally, they are vulnerable to what sounds like contempt or disrespect. Let's look at an example in Scripture with Esther in chapter 1, verses 18. The fear then was that wives would start to despise their husbands and defy them. You can go ahead and read that on your own when you have time. They were very concerned that because of the example set by Queen Vashti, that there would be no end to the contempt and anger poured out by wives on their husbands. She basically outwardly defied the king when he called her to the banquet and said no, that she wouldn't come. Clearly, King Xerxes and his nobles feared being disrespected. And no matter how much he loved her, I mean, he had to respond with discipline. So basically, Queen Vashti virtually asked to be punished by the king as she defied and disrespected him. How do you think this affected his love for her? He probably still loved her, but he was forced to take action. We are guilty of making the same mistake as this queen. When we look down on our husbands and disrespect them, we are almost asking to be unloved. There's another issue that needs our attention. As women, we often think and sometimes say, I just want a man to love me, to treat me special, as if I'm the most important thing in his life. No one would accuse that woman who expresses those types of thoughts of being an egomaniac, right? Yet when a man says he needs to be respected, he is often labeled, especially in our culture, as arrogant, macho, and overbearing. I ask you, ladies, is that fair or right? No. Here's the bottom line. We can't expect to be loved if we are not willing to respect our men.
Okay, in the book in chapter 4, what men fear most can keep the crazy cycle spinning. Conflict makes most men feel disrespected. Not surprising, in a study done by Dr. Emerson, almost 82% of the men chose as more concerning a wife that doesn't respect them over a wife that doesn't love them. Men need to feel respected during conflict more than they need to feel love. Obviously, men still need to feel love, but the need for to be respected is stronger than their need to feel loved, especially during the conflict. Many women cannot understand or imagine this because they are still tuned into the love wavelength, or they're still looking through their pink glasses, and they think that they're the same. Another study found that 85% of husbands eventually stonewall their wives during conflict. A man's tension builds faster because his blood pressure and the heart rate raises much higher and stays elevated much longer than his wife's. While he tries to calm himself down, I suggest we pray during that time when we are feeling pressure, anxiety, anger, is start to pray. Bring God into the picture. We'll stonewall, we'll pull back, we'll become quiet, we'll say nothing, and we'll go off by ourselves. Does not see the situation as isolation, but as unloving, but his wife will often see it as unloving. So as the guy's trying to not blow up and not react in a negative way and trying to do something which is natural to him, the wife looks at it as unloving and then usually comes after the husband. He said, where are you going? What are you doing? And may come back even more critical or desperate. Don't you love me? And then puts the love card on there and is like, wait a minute, I'm still getting angry. There was one time, a long, long, long time ago, we were new disciples and we were driving, and for some reason I had a Coca-Cola in my car and it spilled. Sandy spilled it and before it even finished coming out of the cup, she said, you know, do you forgive me? And I said, I now laugh about it because I was pretty angry at the time. But I said, I'm not done getting angry with you yet. It just spilled, you know. And so I look back now, it was like I was getting angry. And she was ready for me to forgive her. And I wasn't ready to do that in 1/10 of a second, you know. So anyways, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time, I'll tell you that. And so we pull back. We see differently, okay? But she still sees it as rejection and relates it to, you're not loving me. And the crazy cycle continues to get worse.
So let's talk about women. Let's look at how we deal with conflict. As women, we resolve conflict with our female friends opposite of what men would do. Women sit down and have lunch, go to Starbucks, have a talk. and work things out. They verbalize their feelings in great detail. We share our hearts and then, of course, apologize to each other. There will probably be tears and each of us saying, "I'm sorry," closing with a big hug, naturally. This method works beautifully woman to woman. The problem arises when women think they can do the same thing with men and with their husbands. And when it doesn't work, heaven help the husband on the wrong side of that conflict. So we have to ask ourselves, ladies, what are we thinking? Seriously. Did we truly expect our husbands to think and react like our girlfriends? In our actions, that's what we're saying. It's high time we start remembering to put on the blue glasses, and I'll do that, see things his way. If we approach things in this way, it will bring the results we desire. Remember, if we want to be heard and loved, we have to speak in his language, the language of respect. One more thing, ladies. Let's look at the motivation we use to get resolve. I know we all put a lot of weight on what our husband thinks of us, and that's a good thing, a good motivator. My question is, what is motivating our quest to get resolved? Are we more concerned about getting resolved because we want to look good and be able to brag about our great marriage? Or are we concerned by and focused on what is pleasing to God and using this as our motivator? With God as the center and focus, any situation can be resolved with a good measure of patience, understanding, and forgiveness. I want to give you one more word of caution. Don't treat your husbands like you do your kids. It's not your job to raise them. Be very careful not to look down on him or to talk down to him, and never make fun of him. As I talked about before, I used to be very guilty of this. Male bashing used to be a sport of mine and my three sisters whenever we got together. And fortunately, after becoming a disciple, I had to kind of literally retrain myself, literally bite my tongue, stop the quick wit from just spinning off and saying whatever came to mind. And some of you that know me well may have seen me still do it in the more recent past, but please, if you do, call me out on it, because it is disrespectful. It's not just funny. And it's really not funny at all. It's just hurtful.
Amen. And, you know, it's taken us years to get to this point, and we're still growing. We still have our own conflict. We have our own issues. We deal with them. They're a lot shorter than ever before, and it's because there's a conviction that life is too short, and those long, long, long conversations that took forever to get resolved was mostly my pride of saying I'm sorry. Because I used to, you know, do the opposite of what Sandy would do. It was, I would actually then reverse the situation to make it her issue and her problem and make it her issue and not mine. I did not take responsibility. And so I always made her feel guilty and made her cry and all this other bad things that I would do. And that was not right. It was not showing honor to God. It was using my manipulation to do that. And it was not showing respect to her or our marriage. And so when we finally figured that out is, you know what? Life is too short. And being not unified, it was like this hole in my stomach. And I think I referred this to you guys one time before about when growing up, my dad was in the military, and we moved every 2 years, and our friends would move every 2 years. And so there was a cycle of you got a best friend, and they moved, and then we would move. And so I was always at a new school, and so there was an empty pit in my stomach every time I went to a new school. Well, when Sandy and I are not unified, I get that pit in my stomach. It's a big hole in my stomach, and I hate it. I hate it. And I can't wait to get to be unified now, whatever that is, righteously to get unified. And so we stop the cycle before it even gets into that place, and we'll get help. We'll pray. We'll be unified, whatever it takes, because life is too short. Mm-hmm. Life is too short. We unfortunately have three deaths that in our family, an uncle, an aunt, and another aunt. Mm-hmm. So we're going up to Northern California this next week for our uncle, Sandy's mother's brother, who passed away. And so life is too short to not be unified. Mm-hmm. And so there's an urgency, I think, to be not just doing okay, but doing awesome with your best friend. Yeah. It's to spend quality time, have fun, whatever it is. I don't care what movie I go to. If I'm going with my best friend, I'm going to have a good time.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Now, there's a lot of times that we'll go see her movie. There's times I'll go see my movie. And if she didn't want to go see that movie, Chris and I will go see a guy movie. So, well, you know what? We help each other. And it's awesome. Okay? It's awesome. I love this time of our life. Okay? I'm still in denial, but I love this time of our life. I'm at peace. I love it. Okay? I hate getting older, but I love what we're doing right now. Okay? Can you feel the passion? There's a lot more, okay? And the other thing, when Sandy was talking about her father and all those, the words that were used, in our household, and the Bartels will know this because their boys were over at our house, and the Meads, his boy was over at our house, and I look around, there's a lot of your boys were over at our house, Jacob was over at our house. And so when your kids were in our house, they were in Newfield, okay? And they had full rights to the refrigerator and the TV and whatever, and they were a new field, and they'd take the garbage out if they asked them to do that. And they, you know what, they were more obedient. You guys said they were more obedient at my house than they were at your house. But anyway, there were certain words that we didn't use. We called them bad words, and we had a sin jar. And they weren't cuss words because we put those out a long time ago. I had a bad mouth. They were words like stupid, dumb, shut up, sucks. Things like that. And one of the boys didn't know that, and he said it, and I said, we don't say that word. And he said, okay, and never said it again. Because he respected the house. And when we did say a bad word, one of those words, we put a 25 cents into the sin jar, and we got to about, I don't know, $6 or $7. And I did put a quarter in one time, and we used that to go to the movies on family night. Because our family night was Monday night, and so that was kind of funny. The kids got on me right away as soon as I said whatever I said. I stopped those words from being said in our house because her father said a lot worse. And we were not going to bring that into our Christian house.
Amen.
You get that? There has to be we have to break the cycle. We have to show that we're going to protect our wives, whatever that is. And so I use that as example. So what do you allow into your house? With the computer age, we'll talk about that more, because I'm going to run out of time here. There's a lot that we allow into our house, and we shouldn't. Dr. Emerson's book references a question that his wife Sarah asked an angry, bitter, disrespectful wife during a counseling session. What if your son grew up and married someone like you? The woman's mouth fell open. She was stunned. For the first time, she saw it. She would never want a woman to treat her son the way she was treating her husband. She saw herself more clear than ever before and then vowed to change. See, something has to happen in order for somebody to want and be motivated to change. If we're a Christian, we should be motivated by our Bible and the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But there's also some of these other things that can help us to motivate us to change.
Amen.
People can change when we help them have a conviction. If they have shown how to change and given an opportunity, they will change. And changing is part of something by forgiving them. Let's look at what Jesus says about this in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And it's about forgiving one another. And we have to forgive. Because God calls us to forgive, as small or large. And you don't know what weight goes in what we say to our wives, about our wives. The weight of what we say is far more than anything that you can say to my wife. What I say or my kids say can destroy her or lift her up. And we have to understand that. And so there are times when I have to ask for forgiveness. There are times that she does, and we will get unified and forgive one another. And that's awesome.
Amen.
And so this is not getting down on anyone. I hope this has encouraged you to change in the area that you can change in. And the one thing that we started about the last two classes is that it's about what you can change, not what she can change. I can't change her. I'm responsible for my action and my reaction and what comes out of my mouth, okay? And so we have to take responsibility for what we do. And so look at yourself. This is about ourself, about what we need to change. As Sandy was talking to the women, and I'm talking to the men, and so we need to take responsibility for what we do. In grief recovery or any kind of recovery that we do, the premise is to take responsibility for what you can. And I didn't get it at first. When I went through grief recovery the first time, I didn't get it 100%. I was like, wait a minute, I need to take 100% responsibility for 100% of what I say. But if you can only take 1 or 2 or 10% of that area, and that's the first step, then that's a good thing. Then take that percent and then go from there. Does that make sense? Did I make sense there? You guys get it? Mm-hmm. Do you guys get it? You guys in the back get it? Okay. Watching you. Okay, one more thing, and then we will be done. And are you guys writing down those questions? We're going to collect those here in 5 minutes. Okay, in ending this, married couples are at a crossroads. Today, married couples are at a crossroads. We appreciate her husband's need for respect. Or will she denounce his feelings? Will she discover what the best way to love a husband by respecting him in ways that are meaningful to him? Or will she focus totally on what she feels is the key to a happy marriage, her womanly feelings, and dismiss his needs as antiquated or male arrogance? At the same time, will the husband appreciate his wife's need for love or just continue to ignore her feelings? Will he discover the best way to love a wife is to look beyond her criticism and complaints and see why she isn't feeling love? Or will he just cower before her apparent contempt and retreat to the shelter of his stone wall? Proverbs 14:8, in a marriage, the wise person gives thought to their ways. Increasing numbers of couples who are at crossroads are taking the right fork, love and respect, or putting the Bible into place, which is what this is based on. And a strong-minded career woman wrote to tell Dr. Emerson at one of his conferences about the love and respect connection and how they were in their crazy cycle and what they did to help make it stop. She wrote, "My husband was able to see that when he would withdraw, often because I was disrespectful, I would feel abandoned and unloved, so would go after him with a vengeance that would make a warrior cower, which would disrespect him and hurt him deeply, causing him to withdraw even more severely, the whole crazy cycle. But he, for the first time, was willing to see that he had acted unlovingly. He was able to own some part of it. I think he was able to see that I was more delicate, even though I really was hard to sell my strength to everyone, including him, and that I do need him and I want to support and strength. I asked him for forgiving me for being so disrespectful. We have been talking and things have been gradually changing. Mutual understanding is setting in." And so I wanted you to keep going, okay? Don't give up. Don't give up. Never, never, never quit, okay? God is with us. He's helping us. There's some great marriages in the fellowship here that we can call on, that we can get input, that we can fellowship with. And this week I've had some very, very good talks with a couple people. And so I just want to encourage you to keep going. Don't give up. Women, if you've been reading this, you're thinking, it's all about me, it's all about me. Keep reading, okay? We're trying to be fair on both sides, that the men and women are getting, you know, both barrels at the same time so that you don't feel picked on. Now, that's not what we want. We want you to feel encouraged, okay? Amen. So homework. Read the Bible every day. Pray together every day. If you have kids, pray with them. Let them see you praying, okay? Write down 3 things that you admire about your spouse. Optional is still to tell them, but you don't have to, and don't expect them to do it just because you do it. Give them a chance to do it on their own, okay? But don't expect it. Do it because you want to, because it pleases God. Read chapters 5 and 6 and do the homework. Share with someone what you are learning about the classes. Give God the glory. Buy the book. If you haven't bought the book, buy the book. Go on Amazon or wherever you can get it and get it. The Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson. The love she most desires, the respect he honestly needs. And so it is 9:14 and you guys are dismissed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.